Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We are in our studies in Philippians chapter 4. Paul says that the three great areas of fellowship, of participation together, is with the Word, constantly hearing and studying the Word. Chapter 1 of Philippians. Chapter 2 is continually praying and being involved with those who are in ministry. And thirdly, he waited till Philippians chapter 4 to say the third area of participation, which, by the way, is the word koinonia for fellowship, is with giving and receiving. And as we've mentioned to you before, this area has been abused by the church over the years, teaching from the Old Testament that Christians need to tithe, that is, give 10% of their income. Bare minimum, there's tithes and offerings. Interesting to have these different names. One day I sat there, and you can tell that particular day I had nothing better to do, but I thought of different titles for different different kinds of giving. There's 10 ways to give, folks. A local pastor extrapolated and said, you know, if every family in our church gave $900 extra a month, by the end of the year we could pay all of our bills off. Yeah, well, if they gave me $900 extra a month, my bills would be paid too. But that has nothing to do with the things of the Lord. As we shared with you the first hour, the things of the Lord deal with the heart. It's what the heart desires, to be involved in the things of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, I am making mention of this area to you, not that I have a need, because I've learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. But for you, for your sake, for your account that's in heaven. Now, I want to make a statement to you. People in the past, and includes people in this neighborhood and others that have sort of passed through, they said, well, you know, we're looking for a new church, and we thought we might come out and try your church. I said, time out. First of all, we don't put on church services. And second of all, we don't have any programs. We are a fellowship of believers that gathers around and participates in three areas. We're constantly in the Word. We're constantly praying for one another and with one another. And we're constantly participating with our finances and positions to help one another and for those who are in need. Right then, as soon as I say that, they shut off. That's not church they're looking for. They want a church they can go attend the services and participate in the social programs. We are, I explained to them, my pastor's heart is, and I really am not satisfied with anything unless a person is participating with the Lord. I'm glad when people come. I'm glad when people hear the word. I'm glad when people sit in and pray with us. I'm glad with all those things. But my own personal heart is not satisfied unless a person who confesses and professes to be a Christian is actively participating with the Lord. Not so much with this church, but with the Lord in those three areas. The finances, the prayer, and the stewardship of ministry with the things that we own, and with our finances. So Paul saves that and says, I'm saying this not so that you give to me, that's not the motive, but so that you, because of your account in heaven. And so we've gone off on a side trip to say, okay, what is Paul's teaching on giving? In 1 Corinthians 9 and now 2 Corinthians 9, we understand that the Old Testament, according to 1 Corinthians 9, the Old Testament, the commandment of the Lord, all of these issues, even life itself, dictates that those who are in the ministry should get paid. That's the way life is. How do they live? How do they earn their living? But in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, but we don't use that right and authority so that we do not abuse ourselves in the preaching of the gospel. Therefore, we minister the gospel free of charge and leave it up to the Lord and the people to support and give as they are led to give. So that people are not hindered from hearing the gospel just because of money. And we already know from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's why this third area of fellowship is so difficult for many, many even professing Christians. I'd rather have a church where I can attend the church service, hear an encouraging message to start off my week, and then go home and just do what I want to do. But the love for money is the root of all evil. Money is the gateway to the world. And all that I want to do and all the places I want to go and all the things that I want to have. So when the Lord says, I have saved you, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I have redeemed the time that you live in. Every second is mine, says the Lord, because he has purchased us. And then he says, everything that I bless you with, financially and material possessions, those things are to be used in service for Christ. Good news, right? No, that's mine. So we have a struggle with it. And so it's important to understand 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul commended them. Remember, he's writing to the Christians in Corinth. He's commending them because when he went to Macedonia, he told the Macedonians, well, the Christians down in the city of Corinth, they said, from last year, that they were going to save up money at the first day of every month so that when we come and make the collection, we can take all that money to Jerusalem and give it to the poor saints in Jerusalem. So Paul was promoting this financial collection. When he went to Macedonia, he bragged about the Corinthians. When he was in Corinth, he bragged about the Macedonians, trying to motivate each with the grace of God that was moving in Macedonia. And the Corinthians said, well, we want to be part of that too. So now he goes to Macedonia, gets the collection, gets a representative from there. Now they're on their way to Corinth, and he's telling them ahead of time that you were willing and ready to do this from a year ago. I want to make sure we're not ashamed of our boasting of you because the Macedonians are coming with me. And when we come into town to get your part of the collection, I don't want to find that it was just all talk, willingness and readiness. Oh, yes, I will. And it's not there. So he sends Titus and two other brothers ahead to make sure the collection is made. But he says in verse 5 that this collection that it might be made not out of grudgingly, not out of covetousness, but rather liberalness, generosity. But then the principles of giving for all of the Bible, for all Christians, is found in verses 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The one who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and the one who sows upon the basis of blessings will also reap upon the basis of blessings. Again, the word blessings is where we get our English word eulogy from. If it's used for the things of the Lord, it's going to turn people's hearts to the Lord. No promise of personal wealth for me to consume upon myself, but blessings to others. Now picture this, because seed is being used here and the farmer is an example. If you take some seed and you say, you know, I really don't want to waste these by planting them in the ground, which will produce more seeds. I'm going to put these seeds in my top dresser drawer. What happens to them? They just sit there. They don't produce life. They have to go in the ground and die first. But then you find somebody next door who's got a motorcycle that you want to buy. Hey, I'll trade you some seeds for that motorcycle. So here's 15 seeds. You can do with as you please. I get the motorcycle. Now it's harvest season. Where's my harvest? You didn't plant any seeds. You spent the seeds, but you didn't plant them. And that's the whole message of Scripture. Is the only way those seeds, which are representative of our material things, the only way those seeds are going to produce a blessing is if they fall into the ground and die. And from them, fruit is produced by God, along with more seeds to be planted. You understand the concept of seed, why seed is used? It only produces blessings one way, if it's put into the ground. That's what it was meant for. But he says in verse 7, each one according as he is choosing in his own heart, not from out of grief or from out of pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, that lets me off the hook, because I feel pressure, I feel stressed to give. If I give grudgingly, so I don't have to give. Okay, you can choose. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. It's just God's divine spiritual law that applies to what we do with the stewardship of our material possessions. In verses 8 and 9 from last week, we saw that the power of God by his grace is what supplies these things that we use as stewardship for his ministry. We saw in verses 10 and 11, not only is it the power of God that supplies these things, but it's the promise of God to supply them. If we realize we don't have much, God says, then give out of the not much that you have, trusting that he is going to provide. He promises he will. But in verses 12 to 15, there are five things that come under the communication in giving. Five things that come under the communication of giving. He says, first of all, you're giving because the ministry of this service, so it's called ministry. The ministry of this service is not only completely filling up the things lacking of the saints. So the first thing it does is it fills a need. The poor saints in Jerusalem, famine, poverty, the Jews receive Christ, they lose their jobs, their family excommunicates them, the temple excommunicates them, they're all alone, all they have is each other. So Paul says, this should not be. We, the Gentiles, need to take up a collection and take it to them to meet their need. But also, secondly, but is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. The second thing it does in communicating to the need, it fills the need, but it causes people to thank God for his provision and for the hearts of his people. Thirdly, verse 13, through the proof of this ministry, they glorifying God over the subjection of your confession toward the gospel. First of all, they're glorifying God. And next, it tells us, first of all, why they're glorifying God. It's because your confession about your being part of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a believer in Jesus Christ, you are submitting to that gospel and you are functioning according to the gospel. It's their submission to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The people are glorifying God. Secondly, they're glorifying God. It says, and the generosity of the fellowship toward them, and thirdly, toward all. the generosity. It wasn't just out of bounty. It was out of giving out of one sacrifice because of the concern and care for those who were in need. That not only to them, but to everybody, the generosity just blew their minds. And they weren't just giving credit to man, they were glorifying God because they recognized that this is beyond a human ability. Human beings give out of the leftovers. Remember Jesus standing in the temple and across from the treasury with the disciples, and he says, "Watch the people as they give their money to the treasury, and the rich were coming through and giving loads of money, large sums of money." And then a poor widow comes through and gives what is equivalent to 1/64th of a day's wage. Not much. So he asked the disciples, who gave more? They said, well, the rich guys, look at them piling through here and dropping all that money. He says, well, they are not the ones that gave more. You see, they gave out of their excess, surplus, their profits. This widow gave from out of all that she had. She gave more in the eyes of the Lord. You can see he's putting emphasis on heart, not amount, but on heart. So they were glorifying God because of the confession that these people were Christians and that they believe in and follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they submitted to that. They were actually doing what the gospel said. And they were doing it generously, and they were doing it not just to them, but to all the believers that had need. The fourth thing in verse 14, the benefits to the grace, and in their petition on behalf of you, while longing after you. So he says, first of all, under the benefits to this grace of giving, the recipients will pray for those who gave. They're so thankful to God. And God's grace causes them to remember those who are used to provide and minister to them these things, and therefore they prayed for them. God, continue to bless them. They're so sacrificial. Continue to bless them in this ministry. Let them abound as you have promised. And we saw that in verses 10 and 11. And secondly, they desire to be with them. They petition on behalf of you while longing after you. They want to be there. Those are the believers you love to fellowship with, you know? Those who are participating in all the areas of life that involves interaction and personal relationship with Christ. And fifthly, because of the overflowing grace of God upon you, he says, on account of the overflowing grace of God that's upon you. So they saw it as God's grace. It wasn't, well, those believers are keeping the tithing rules that are mentioned in Malachi. Or they're following the law. They're doing things, they've made us their project. And I hate that. I hate committees, you know? Let's have committees and let's try to fulfill God's command to feed the poor and the homeless. So we do that for 1 hour on Tuesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock. It's like, no, this is all week long, every day. We are to be sensitive first to the needs of the believers around us who immediately fellowship with us, and then for all people, not so much that we can fulfill a command. One person said to me that I help my neighbors because God has commanded me to love my neighbors. So that's why I love my neighbors. And I said, no. As you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it out of your own obligation and duty. You should care for those people. You should care to the point that you don't get the credit or you don't get the spotlight, but that would people would understand that you're doing it because you're being motivated by God's grace to do it. What they do with it is up to them. And then it says in verse 15, now thanks is to God over his indescribable gift. King James says unspeakable. literally indescribable. God's gift in the person of Jesus Christ, you can't put words to it. How many studies have we been in? How many hours, how many years have we studied the Word of God and continue to study about God's provision through His Son, Jesus Christ? How do you put all that into words? It's indescribable. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, Paul says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we be not with Him also freely give grace to us in all things?" If He gave us His Son, how much more will He give us His grace for all of these things? So it's on the basis of God giving of His Son that He presents the fact that God's grace can be poured out and given to all of His people. With that, we finish 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Next week, we will get back into Philippians chapter 4. And either next week or the week after, finish Philippians and go into the book of Colossians. As you can see, there are no rules and regulations about giving. But at the same time, we dictate to God how He's going to deal with us with the blessings that He gives to us, and we consume them upon ourselves. He will deal with us. We will reap sparingly. Those seeds that were meant for planting will be spent for other things, and then they'll be gone. They won't be able to be planted. They won't be able to grow a crop. Will not be able to bear fruit. So you can see Paul's ministry to them. As we said the first hour, it's really a heart problem. It's a heart issue. What do I do with my body? What do I do with my time? What do I do with my possessions? Christ has purchased me. He has redeemed me and the time that I live in. And He has provided all things for me, that my body might be the temple of the Holy Spirit, that He might work through. My time is His, that He might use on His time schedule for His purposes. And all the things that I have been bountifully blessed upon me by His grace, that I might be a steward and seek Him as to what He would have me to do. Paul says that's the heart of the believer. That's different than church. That's different than social programs in the church. It's different than even legalistically giving or giving out of stress and pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. He basically says, hold on to your seeds. I don't want them. If it can't be given out of a heart for Christ. But then by not giving out of a heart for Christ, you also reap the benefits of that. So He is a way. Remember, God wants our hearts. That's it. He doesn't want our possessions, our money. He wants our hearts. When our hearts are right with Him, everything else flows out of that in ministry for His glory and for people to turn their hearts to Him in thanksgiving. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word that encourages us and comforts us, but also instructs us, that shows us it's not about things. It's not about taking time out every once in a while to go to church meetings. It's not about fulfilling duty and then getting back to our own lives. It's about realizing that Christ has saved us and set His Spirit within us, that we now belong to Christ, and our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit and redeemed, our time redeemed by the blood of Christ. Also our possessions, we are stewards of that which the Lord has entrusted into our hands. We pray that you would help us to seek you out, and we pray for a change in our own hearts and attitudes. That it's not about church, but it's about participating together with Christ and with the Lord's people as the Spirit leads, but based upon a willingness and a readiness and a desire to be in service for Christ. We pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to understand these things and change our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.